So hello again and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the podcast where two best friends and comedy writers ask each other questions and give each other answers. I am one half of that podcast, author of How to Fight Presidents and staff writer for Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. Daniel O'Brien, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Soren Bowie. Soren, say hello.
Hello, everybody. I'm Soren Bowie. I'm a writer for American Dad. And I got to tell you, Dan, today I was running. I was out on a run, feeling pretty good about myself because I'd been running so regularly. And like my splits are getting better. And I just got absolutely burned by this guy.
Really?
Just destroyed. Twice. Because the way the run is, it's basically like this figure eight that has a hill in it. And like one, it's not a perfect figure eight. Like one side's much bigger than the other. And so like he was going one the same way as me for some of it. And then he split off on one way on the eight and I went the other. And then when we came around the other side, like he beat me by a country mile because he had a hill and he was on the longer side. He just was so fast and he's just a gazelle. Like he was like, well, he's tall. So like he had the stride of an impala, but he was so fast in a way that was like really demoralizing.
Now, could you, one of the things that I do when this happens to me is if anyone passes me, I tell myself, well, they probably just started. They haven't been running as long today as I have. So like, of course.
So I do the same thing. I know that, so where I was coming from, basically I run to the Culver City steps and then I run home. Mm-hmm. And I know that there's not a lot of places in between there for him to have started because I go through this college campus too. There's not a lot of places in there for him to have started other than at the steps. And I think that's where he came from. Also, he already had a good sweatband going on. And I think he's just fast because it didn't, the second time too, that was like another mile and a half. The second time that we encountered each other, he had just done, I know he did a hill and I know that the way that he went was much longer and he still beat me.
Yikes, man, that sucks. I know how tough that is for you.
Maybe he's like a marathon runner or something. But he looks so, you know, he wasn't super lean. He wasn't one of those twig people that you see running marathons. He was like, had some meat on him too. And that was, I need to know his deal.
He's built quite a case against you. It's hard to work yourself up into a state to explain away why technically you're faster than him. Thanks to ExpressVPN for supporting Quick Question. Did you know that your internet service provider can still see every site you visit, even in incognito mode? Visit expressvpn.com/QQ and you can get an extra 3 months free on a 1-year package. Thanks to BetterHelp for supporting Quick Question. For 10% off your first month, go to betterhelp.com/QQ. Start living a better life today. Thanks to our old friends Hello Tushy for supporting Quick Question. Now, the brand new Hello Tushy 3.0 Modern Day Attachment is here to level the playing field. It's stylish, eco-friendly, easy to install, and affordable. HelloTushy.com/QQ to get 10% off plus free shipping.
He also had one of those exercise hats on. It's one of the...
What do you mean?
As soon as it left my mouth, I was like, there's no such thing as an exercise hat. He had one of those hats that I think you might have one of these. They're like kind of like a mesh, it's a hat that's clearly designed for you to be wearing while you're doing something athletic. It wicks.
Oh, yes.
It looks like it wicks and it's like jersey material almost. The outside of it is the kind of material you would see on like a football jersey almost. So he had on one of those and that was a good indication that this is part of his life.
Yeah, he's not a tourist.
But man, did I get smoked. And it was just a very humbling experience. I don't ever get smoked. This was the first time in a long time. But how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I just got back from a run right before this record, actually.
Oh, yeah? Wait, how far did you go?
Just because I got just a little over 5K. 3.17.
Yeah.
I'm training for... 5K next month, and I want to be. I've never been like competitive in a race. Like I'm not a naturally fast person, and I just run for health and therapy, and because I like it. And usually I do distance stuff, but now because I'm training, I'm trying to actually see if I can get faster. And I have like a personal record in mind that I want to beat for my 5K, and so I'm just like doing that pretty regularly. and mixing it up occasionally with like 5 miles here and there. And I'll do some like hill training to get my speed up, because I don't really know how to get my speed up. I read a couple of things online that are giving me some tips, but I don't know if they actually work. But one of them is hills.
Yeah. And do you mind saying what you want your time to be?
I would like to get sub 24 minutes.
Okay, so I need to do a little math. 24 divided by 3.5? How many miles is it?
3.1.
Okay, so 3 miles. So 24 divided by 3 should be easy. It's 8. 8.
Yeah.
And so you're going for 8-minute miles. Wow, that is fast.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to get 8-minute miles. I think some stubbornness, I can sprint my way through with no regard for my body towards the end and try to make up some of the damage that way. I've been running pretty comfortably running sub nines no matter what distance I'm doing lately.
Yeah, if I'm trying to like beat my Fitbit, like I'll wear a Fitbit so that I know I can track how far a run is, because I'm always trying to find new ones, and I want to know how far I've gone, and I'll always try and like beat that element of it by the end. Like when I know I'm pretty close to home, I'm gonna sprint those last few blocks because I'm trying to make up some ground so that when I get home, I can be like, oh yeah, sub nine splits. That's perfect.
Yeah,
I know I didn't run sub nine the whole time. I wasn't even close to that, but I'm like, I'm gonna have 4 blocks where I can go be in a dead sprint just to cheat. Well, this actually,
there's a, you know, this might be part of my quick question. Yeah. I don't know if you were trying to segue, but I brought nothing today.
Yeah, that was going to be my quick question, but go ahead. Now we both have quick questions around this.
This is such a, it's like a very projecting personal bias of mine. It's such an obvious tell that if I see a character in a TV show or a movie who's running, like as part of their exercise, I think this is a good guy. Purely because I run and I like me. So when I'm watching Leftovers and Justin Theroux, there's a scene of him like in a bunch of episodes where he's just like going for a morning run. I'm like, yeah, it doesn't matter that he was running to go cheat on his wife and smoke cigarettes behind her back. He's a runner. Yeah.
He's one of us.
He cares about himself.
Yeah, it does seem like shorthand, the same way that like somebody, a character having a dog is shorthand. It's like, oh, they have a dog? Yes. They're a good guy. But yeah, running is like self-betterment. Anytime you're like making any sort of steps towards self-betterment, you immediately like that character. You're like, okay, they're all right.
It's also something that like I love running. I do it every day. It's a huge part of my life. It's never fun to start. The first mile is always terrible. And so like if I see someone on TV or in real life who runs, I'm like, yeah, you understand about delayed gratification. You understand about working for something. Ha!
Now, what time of day do you usually run?
I've been running at 6 or 6:15 every day.
Ooh, rush hour.
At night. Yeah. But I was recently, Soren, buddy, on a morning walking date with someone from one of the apps. And that was my first time walking along the Hudson this early in the morning. And there were so many runners out, and it got me very excited. And I think I might start running in the mornings now because I want to be part of that community.
You went on a walking date at sunrise, basically? What time was this?
Like 8:30.
Yeah. I mean, that's still so early for a date.
Yeah.
I mean, even if I wake up at 6 with my child, I know by the time I'm getting ready at 8 to take my son to school, I've still got like swollen pillow face. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
So what a brave thing both of you did to go on a date that early in the morning.
Yeah.
What does that happen? You get like beat up by your pillow at night. All that blood gets into your head, I guess. Well, I have
you gotta wake up. You gotta ice your face down for a while.
I don't know. And then eventually
we all do this. We do it every day.
Eventually it drains. I ask what time you run because I've been working out. So when I'm on hiatus, like I can really get back into shape because I've got no other obligations other than my family. So I wake up I take my son to school, and then I go to the gym. And then sometimes I run at the gym, although that's real hell because I got to run with a mask on. Or I'll rush home and try and do a run here before it gets too hot. And so all in all, like I'm not a breakfast man either. So I'm working out in the mornings for like an hour and a half, maybe a little longer, given both things. And then not eating food until like 1 o'clock.
Ooh.
Do you think that that's bad, or do you think that maybe I've like jumped onto something new and exciting?
I don't know. Well, I mean, I have a number of thoughts on this. Apart from that walking date, I really don't like having stuff to do in the mornings, because I really enjoy my morning rituals of coffee and breakfast. Like, I like getting up early and then having a few hours where I don't need to be seen or use my voice or do anything. And I could just sort of like read some articles, whatever came out that morning, and usually watch Jeopardy on my DVR from the night before.
Damn.
And then just like exist in the morning.
Cold Jeopardy. Happily. Cold, yeah. Like leftover Jeopardy in the morning.
Yeah, that's right.
Good gravy. You're an old man. Okay, go on.
Yes. and I also, for so long, didn't eat breakfast at all. And then within the last year, became a breakfast person. I don't want to come down too hard on you for not eating until 1 o'clock, because that was very much my life for a very long time. I do prefer this better. I like having a big hearty breakfast, and it's more likely that I'll either skip lunch or do a much worse version of that, where I don't want to take the time to do the whole pageantry of lunch. Yeah. So I'll just like eat some loose cold cut meat.
Yeah, that's
just like a handful of roast beef as lunch.
I don't think that's crazy. I think that there's, because my wife's parents are the same way, where they're like, they're big into breakfast, and then lunch is the skimpiest, tiniest little thing you can imagine. It's like her dad owns ramekin specifically for lunch, so that he can give you three almonds and like some pitted cherries, two pitted cherries. Like, they love little tiny servings at lunch. And I'm the exact opposite. I don't like breakfast. I don't feel like eating when that's early in the morning. And also when I'm working out, I'm not thinking about eating at all. And then when lunch rolls around, I get so excited. Lunch is like my favorite meal of the day. I love prepping the entire morning, being like, okay, what is it going to be today? Where am I going to go? Oh, you know, I haven't had a sandwich from this place in a very long time. Oh, I'm going to get exactly the right honest tea. I'm going to get the good chips. I'm going to get smoked provolone. I'm not doing that regular. Like, I love lunch.
And so you're like, you're going to a place for lunch every day?
Most times. Yeah. I mean, sometimes I'll have some food at home, but even that stuff is pretty prepped. I'm not going to prep something. I'm not going to cook for lunch.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I haven't died yet, so I think it's that my system is okay. And I've been losing some weight and stuff, so I feel like it.
Hell yeah.
Things are okay.
If you're a listener of this show, you probably know that my search history is full of things I don't necessarily want the rest of the world to see. Things like, how many gummy bears is too many gummy bears for an adult? And is it ever okay to send someone a picture of your leg non-sexually? These are times where I would love for my search history to not be very findable. I know most of you are probably thinking, why don't you just use incognito mode? Let me tell you something. Incognito mode does not hide your activity. It doesn't matter what mode you use or how many times you clear your browsing history. Your internet service provider can still see every single website you've ever visited. That's why, even when I'm at home, I never go online without using ExpressVPN. It doesn't matter who your internet service provider is. ISPs in the US can legally sell your information to ad companies. ExpressVPN is an app that reroutes your internet connection through their secure servers so your ISP can't see the sites you visit. ExpressVPN also keeps all your information secure by encrypting 100% of your data with the most powerful encryption available. Most of the time, I don't even realize I have ExpressVPN on. It runs seamlessly in the background, and it's so easy to use. All you have to do is tap one button, and you're protected. ExpressVPN is available on all your devices, phones, computers, even your smart TV, so there's no excuse for you not to be using it. I love having ExpressVPN set up on my phone and computer. I thought it was going to be a hassle setting it up, but it's incredibly easy, and I love, love, love knowing that if I press one button, everything I look at is secure and my privacy is protected. ExpressVPN has been a game changer for me. The amount of searching I do about gummy bears is through the roof, listeners. Protect your online activity today with the VPN rated number one by CNET. Visit my exclusive link, expressvpn.com/QQ, and you can get an extra 3 months free on a 1-year package. That's expressvpn.com/QQ. expressvpn.com/QQ. Learn more.
I have a quick question regarding this, though, Dan, regarding running.
Yeah, go ahead.
When do you think that you were in your prime. Like, and if you're not in your prime yet, you feel like it hasn't even hit yet, like you're just still on that climb up the mountain, then that's okay too. But can you like pinpoint a date where you're like, ah, that's where it was. After that, I peaked.
Right now, baby. That was genuinely, that's not true. I only really floated that to see, will this get a laugh from Soren?
Oh, does that mean?
Or will he briefly entertain the possibility that maybe I think things are going great right
well,
now?
Well, we haven't been in the same state for a while. I haven't like been able to physically see you. I imagine if I did, I'd be like, oh, you look great. And this might be the best you've ever felt. I guess that's possible. I didn't even anticipate that as an answer.
No, I was anticipating a laugh.
Okay, good.
And I'm glad that worked out for us. I want to say, are you talking purely like physical peak?
No, I mean,
or just like everything's working
out?
Yeah,
like everything, like you were at your best. It can be physical. It can be like your jokes were just like, God was reaching into your head and just like, here, have this. Here's a gift. And it was so easy.
Junior year of high school,
okay.
Final answer.
Okay. What? Tell me about junior year.
So it was, I wasn't like a strong, fit person, but just like sort of naturally trim and fit like a 17-year-old kid is supposed to be.
Yeah.
Or a 17-year-old kid can often be. Like I remember doing plays in school and doing a scene where like I lifted my shirt over my head and looking back at pictures and just like these abs that I had that I put no work into. Yeah. They just happened. Just a gift for this dumb idiot who never works at anything.
Yeah, I just fed garbage into this dumpster for all this time and I looked incredible doing it.
But I feel like 2003, just a good year in general. And a really fun year for me, like junior year of high school, I was more comfortable in my own skin, but I didn't have any kind of like ego yet. I think I turned into like a monster, like a lot of 18-year-olds. Senior year just became more of a prick, but like had this brief time where things were working out for me and I was like sweet and happy and humble about things. And it was like the very superficial things that I can point to, it was a really fun role in the school musical that year. Funny thing happened on the way to the Forum, which is a lead part for a clown, which is perfect stuff for me. It was also when my rock and roll band with my two older brothers started playing Lunch Money Criminals started playing out, and that brought with it like a whole new set of confidence and just like fun, incredible, exciting memories and things to do. And I was just like, yeah, this is, you know, 17-year-old kid, no health problems, in good shape, leading the school play and playing in a rock band.
Yeah.
I don't have any real problems yet. I think I liked my job. I was selling shoes at Sports Authority.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like a very easy job and it paid stupid well for no clear reason.
For the weekends.
Yeah. I had a car.
Oh, man. Wait, what did you drive?
1997 Nissan Sentra.
Oh, what a pimp ride. Okay. And were the seats cloth?
Yeah.
During this time, did you find that women looked at you differently? Like that there was just this time in your life where all of a sudden you were like, they just knew somehow.
No, if that's what we're talking about for peak, then no, that has not yet arrived.
Okay. all right, fine. Okay, junior year of high school. I think that's true of a lot of people. I think that high school is like this time where you're like, and especially when you can look back on it now, because you don't remember any of the terror. Things turned out okay for you, but at that time you were like, what am I going to be? Who am I? Like, what is any of this?
I'm talking about doing well in the school play and like having friends and being in a band, but like, I'm sure I did other stuff in school. It wasn't just the play.
Yeah.
I'm sure I also had math.
Yeah. And just the general terror of being young and like having all these doors open to you and being paralyzed by all these opportunities. Everyone says, like in junior year, you're freaking out about college, I think.
Yeah.
But, you know, aside from all of those things, it's nice that socially you were doing really well and athletically, it seems.
Yeah.
I think mine was in like 2008. So
Okay.
Shit. Now I got to do some math. I don't know how old I was. Let's see. If in 2008 to 2021 is
26?
Yeah. Yes. That's right. Okay. So yeah, right around 26, there was I was playing in Winter League Ultimate Frisbee. Now, I was also on the weekends going to the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, which if you live in Los Angeles and you play Ultimate Frisbee, niche group already, I know, but that's where like it happens. That's where all the good people play, is in the Rose Bowl on the weekends. There's a pickup game and everybody there, it's like some of the best in LA are there. And I was like keeping pace. I was playing really well. I was like, I had gotten stronger. I could jump very, very high. I could run faster than most people. And I just was like really athletically talented all of a sudden. It wasn't something I had when I was younger because I was always much smaller than everybody else. Mm-hmm. And in high school and everything, I mean, I could keep up a little bit, but like I was by no means the star of the soccer team or anything like that. And so at some point it just sort of like I bloomed finally and it turned out for me and I was like athletically there and I was doing everything. Like I was that's a hard game to play Ultimate because you're running and running and running and there's no real stopping. But then on top of that I was also working out and I was doing a children's theater too, which is like I was working at Patagonia part-time and then also doing a children's theater part-time. Uh-huh. It's like getting trained to work out through this children's theater that was a lot of tumbling and things like that. I was feeling great and feeling like there was nothing I couldn't do all of a sudden. I was like, maybe I'll be a professional football player. Like just feeling like I was like, man, I think I'm a really good athlete.
At 26?
The door wasn't completely shut yet. And I look back on those days and I'm like, God, where did all that energy go? Like I was doing so great. I just tons and tons of energy. And I didn't ever just want to sit down and like hang out and watch TV.
Yeah.
When I get home, I was like eager to do something. Like, oh, let's go out. Let's make up a game. Let's do this. And that's gone. I mean, all that is just gone. I have no interest in spending that much energy on anything anymore. And so now it's just like I run and I work out because I'm like, I gotta do something to keep this meat sack from melting. And it wasn't that at the time. It was just like, it was fun. Like I wanted to do this. I wanted to do that. And so I was just playing games all the time. And then also I asked that question about women because there was like this weird alignment of the stars or something where people just looked at me differently, like in a way where I wasn't used to. Where like I remember being at a karaoke bar, getting up on stage, hadn't even sung yet, and this woman sitting near the bar just winks at me. And I was like,
like in the movies.
Yeah, yeah.
Like in movies in the past.
Yeah. And I was like, that's incredible. Like that's somebody, they don't even know me. They don't even know if I have any talent yet. They're just like, well, I like the cut of his jib. Wink.
Wow.
This time in my life where I was like, I wonder how long this will last. Because even at the time I was aware that I would not live forever. And I guess I another question I could have asked is, when did you know it was over? But no, I guess I'm more curious about when it was really like your highlight. And
yeah.
I think for a lot of people, it is high school. I think that high school was just not it for me.
I do feel like there have been waves of peaks. I live a very lucky life, I guess. But to one corner of that specifically about women looking at me differently. I swear this isn't just like self-deprecation brand stuff. I don't think there's ever been like a period in history where women and I were on the same page about how they felt about me. It's always been wires crossing on that, where like someone will tell me, looking back on high school, they're like, oh, by the way, all these people had crushes on you. And I was like, shit, fuck.
Yeah.
And then I'll walk into a situation thinking, boy, everybody here wants a piece of me. And it's just not.
It's not happening.
It's not on the table.
Yeah, that's emotional intelligence. You feel like it would be a thing you learn over time. And it's just not.
Nope.
It's just like a thing some people have and other people don't. I certainly don't really have it. I'm very lucky and fortunate that I met the woman of my dreams very early on. And I've never had to deal with any of that. But even while I was dating her, there was, during this time in like 2008, there were even people at our the place where you and I worked. We didn't work at, both work at Cracked at the time. You worked at Cracked, but I did not, but the same building, where people were very forward and like approaching me. And I was like, oh, yeah. no, thank you. But thank you. That's very flattering. And so it was at a point in my life where people knew I was in a relationship and were still like, hey, I like you. And I was like, I don't.
Yeah.
That's very nice of you, but I don't.
But you shouldn't.
Yeah, please don't.
Listen, you don't need to go too far to figure out what might be interfering with your happiness or prevents you from achieving your goals. We are all in a tough spot in this pandemic right now. BetterHelp is here to assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist to talk these issues out. You connect in a safe and private online environment, so it's very convenient. You can start communicating in under 48 hours, all without ever having to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. BetterHelp is more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp is available for clients worldwide, and it offers a broad range of expertise which may not be locally available in many areas. Here are some other great things about BetterHelp. Anything you share is confidential. It's convenient, professional, and affordable. It's not a crisis line self-help. It's professional counseling. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions and send a message to your counselor anytime. There are plenty of testimonials for you to check out posted daily on their site. Licensed professional counselors who are specialized in depression, stress, anxiety, sleeping, trauma, self-esteem, sexual gender identity, all of it. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. We love BetterHelp here. Start living a happier life today. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/QQ. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. That's betterhelp.com/QQ for 10% off your first month. Thanks, BetterHelp.
Yeah. And then it all went downhill. I don't know. Yeah. I try to think back on when I had so much enthusiasm to just do stuff each day, and that's just like gone completely.
Yeah, I think not even just high school and not even just college too, but even being in my early 20s and the amount of time I was comfortable traveling to see friends and do social things is insane to me now. That the workday would end and then I would get in my car and sit in LA traffic to go to fucking Eagle Rock or something like that. And now it's so hard to get me to go anywhere during the weekday.
People who
and
don't
I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna go watch TV at Abe's house for 4 hours.
Yeah, I'm gonna go watch him, or maybe I'll go to Body Worlds, just see what that's all about. And you just like go. You just, maybe it was when I had children too. That like I feel like I need to conserve my energy constantly. I was constantly sprinting out of the gates when I was younger, and. I'm sure there was some consequence to that. I would get sick a lot more often. I would also like burn out early on in the day. But now it's anytime my kids even suggest something, I'm like, okay, well, hold on a second. Let's really think about like how this is going to affect the rest of the day.
It really recontextualizes like anytime my parents would tell us not to play video games because we had rules about not playing them during the week. And I think at the time I just thought like, this is a fun thing, and they don't want me to have a fun thing. I don't know why, but looking back, they must have just been driving them crazy to just be like, "You have energy now, and you won't forever. Use it. Do stuff."
That's what parents should be saying, by the way. Instead of just saying like, "It's a beautiful day, get outside," they should be like, "You will never have this much energy again in your entire life."
Yeah.
Go.
You have energy and free time and no responsibilities.
And like a desire to create.
you
can go out there and just like make up a game and you will enjoy doing that. That's never going to happen again. Anyway, that's. I was just thinking about that as I was getting burned today. I was
like, sorry, man.
It's over. It's over for me.
I guess this will be in keeping with our. This has been a very fitness-focused episode.
Yeah, it goes okay every once in a while.
Yeah. So, Soren, our last record, I gave you a preview of what I was going to ask.
Oh, thank God.
You had all this time to think about it. The quick question was, for our listeners' sake, if they didn't stay to the end of last episode for this one once-in-a-lifetime preview thing that we never do, I texted a picture of my leg to an ex, and the question was, is that weird that I did that?
When was the last time you talked to this ex before sending the picture of your leg?
It's got to be years.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I mean, she will comment on Instagram stuff sometimes. I know.
Oh, fuck. And you send a picture of your leg. Here. So, yeah. And I think we talked about it on the podcast before. And I'll go ahead and put you down on the compliment couch. You got good legs, Dan. You got these busting ass calves. And when I say busting, like literally, like they can bust out of pants. Whereas you were wearing a costume during one of our shoots once, and your calf was so strong that it broke out of the pants that you were wearing.
Yeah, alienating the costume and the makeup people, because now I'm ruining the costumes with my stupid legs, and I'm sweating through all the fake beards and stuff.
Right. Yeah, they were not happy about it. They didn't think it was nearly as impressive as we all did. We were like, that was incredible. They were like, well, that was the only pair of pants we had for you. Yeah, you got good legs. So is this a reflection, or are you just like pointing the camera down? This is my thigh. Click.
Yeah, it's my whole leg.
Yeah.
Full disclosure, wait. I thought my leg looked really good.
And that's why you're sending it.
Yeah, and I wasn't trying to seduce this person. I just wanted a second opinion. And I thought, if I send this to Soren or my group chat, then I'm very lucky to have wonderful supportive friends. They're just going to gas me up and tell me it looks great. Or Soren, you might not tell me it looks great.
No, but I'm not the person to send it to either. You're right to not.
No, but like some of my friends were too good of friends that they wouldn't be honest with me. And I thought, who does it make sense to send this to? An ex with whom I'm on good terms, an ex who is not currently dating anyone else, because like I had a couple exes and I thought, no, she's engaged. I can't send her leg. What if her fiance sees it? Then it would be weird. It's normal in other circumstances, but. And so I found one ex and was like, she'll be honest with me. And I asked, I asked permission first. I was like, hey, are you around? Can I send you a picture of my leg? I think it's good. Will you tell me? And she was like, yeah, I'll give you an honest answer.
Whoa.
And she was very complimentary about it.
Good.
Said it looked strong and it was just a good looking leg. I don't know.
Did you do anything for context? Like, did you put a remote control next to it or something like that she would know the size of?
No. Should I have done that? Would that have made this better?
Well, no. I'm thinking in terms of like, you can never get, like, you can never really get a sense of how the proportions of something in a photo unless you have the context of something next to it. Like, when you find an insect, you're like, nah, I put a quarter next to it so everyone knows what size this bug is.
Right.
But I think it's probably fine with the leg. I think, yeah. And it's a leg that she's seen before, so she can tap into like, her memory banks.
Yeah, I'm not gonna. There was way too much thigh in the picture for a civilian.
Okay,
this needed to be someone.
Yeah,
with whom I had been intimate. She did ask the right questions, which is like, are you gonna try to send this to someone else to impress them? With like a very heavily implied,
don't do that. I guess that's a really important thing to have in your life is somebody who will be brutally honest with you about your physical appearance, because I don't think anybody, like most people don't have that at all.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, even my wife, I don't think would be brutally honest with me. And friends, no, I don't think I have anybody in my life who would just. I mean, oh, my children! Yeah, my children would.
Who would you? Yeah, but your children don't have cell phones. Who would you send a picture of your leg to? It can't be me. I'll lie to you.
No, I see. I'm gonna tell you. I'm gonna send it to my mom. She's not gonna like it, but she's also somebody who's highly critical of me. So I get like a good baseline for whether or not this is working.
Yeah.
Whether or not this is strong. My mom has told me in the past, like when I write things, she's told me, well, you know I'm not your biggest fan.
Yes.
And so she's not afraid to tell me if she doesn't think something is working for me. So I guess I would send it to her, but man, does that sound sad.
Yeah.
I could ask.
I don't know. I like that relationship.
Okay.
Is your butt clean enough to sit on the couch naked? No? Get a Tushy, the modern bidet that attaches directly to your toilet in under 10 minutes. Imagine the weird stuff you could do with a Tushy behind you. So much weird stuff. Tushy, the modern bidet company, washes away even the messiest of poops, leaving you with a better clean than toilet paper. They want us to discuss your worst poop experience and how Tushy could have helped. Oh, when I was in college, I was working out with my roommate in our shared gym in the base of our building, and he was benching a lot of weight, and he lost control and pooped himself right there on the bench. I imagine a Tushy would have helped everyone, mostly him and me for the memory, but everyone who ever had to go to that gym. If you got poop on any other part of your body, would you just wipe it off? No, right? No, you'd wash it. Stop wiping and start washing with Tushy, the modern bidet that attaches directly to your toilet. We love partnering with Tushy so much. They've been around for a while for us, and we have a deal. Go to hellotushy.com/QQ to get 10% off plus free shipping. Tushy is the modern bidet for people who poop. Just poop, wash, and pat dry. The Tushy bidet features in priority order. Washes your butt with water for a better clean than toilet paper. Washing with water is less irritating and more soothing for your beehole. It's easy to install. Attaches right to the toilet in under 10 minutes. No electricity or plumbing is needed. Using a Tushy bidet reduces your toilet paper use by 80%, saving you money and the environment. It's eco-friendly and stylish. Tushy has a lot of products. They have the Tushy Ottoman, the sleekest toilet stool designed to help you poop at 100%, 100% of the time. It's rated number one by Wirecutter. There's also the new Tushy Brush, the only toilet brush with disposable scrubbing pads so you can use a clean brush every time. And more! I love about the Hello Tushy, I love how easy it was to install and how much it saves me money and saves the environment by reducing the amount of toilet paper I use substantially. Start washing with a Tushy bidet for a better clean. This is a special offer for our listeners at hellotushy.com/QQ for 10% off plus free shipping.
And then did you say any chance we could get back together?
Nah.
That would have been funny. That would have been a good bit at the very end.
So since you like the leg so much, and so do we agree that it's a hot leg, what's up? It's cuffing season. What are you doing?
I don't know what cuffing is.
Me neither. Fuck. I was hoping I could just skate by.
Somebody else said it.
I think I used it correctly.
Okay.
I'm going to search for it right now because cuffing season is upon us.
Yeah.
It begins as soon as it starts getting cold.
Yeah.
Sometime around the start of fall.
It's what it's
and lasts until it gets warm again. It's what?
It's like ball and chaining. It's like finding somebody to tie you down.
Yeah. It refers to when people get into relationships during the colder months of the year, even though they ordinarily wouldn't be interested in a commitment. Relationships formed during so-called cuffing season are usually short-term in nature and end once spring rolls around. Here's one of my gripes. The internet has an endless fascination with coining phrases for things.
Yeah.
This does not seem like a situation that requires unique nomenclature.
No.
It's not even a phenomenon that I've observed enough to warrant this article that I'm reading about it right now.
Yeah, I would much rather have in my glossary a name for the friend specifically who will be brutally honest with you no matter what.
Yeah.
Why would you want? I guess the only time you could ever use that person is like for very selfishly, like in those circumstances, yeah, like that, because you don't want that person around all the time. That's rough.
No,
that's, you want people to handle you with kid gloves somewhat. I mean, you do it with everybody, right? Like you're a very kind person. You're not going to tell people what you really think of them, unless maybe, I guess it's possible that you're not nearly as judgmental as I am, and that you...
No, I'm incredibly judgmental.
Okay, good. So
it's bad.
Yeah, so you're never giving them the full kit and caboodle.
Yeah.
You're being as kind as you possibly can. And that's how I live my life as well, with people who, even who I'm very close with, because it helps a relationship.
Yeah.
But man, somebody who's that honest with you, what if she would have said that it sucked?
I guess that was always a possibility.
But you knew it was good.
I knew it was a pretty good leg.
Did she say anything about the lighting?
No.
Hmm.
She said it looked strong and it looked, she said, hairier than mine, which is good.
Oh, she put a little joke in there.
Yeah.
And when you took the pictures, what number picture was this that you finally landed on? You're like, that's the one.
It was definitely 3 pictures were taken total.
Oh, that's not bad at all. Okay.
Yeah.
And did you?
I wasn't. It's truly like I can't stress how pure of a moment this was, that I was sitting on my couch with my leg on my coffee table watching TV, and I looked down at my leg and I was like, it's a pretty good looking leg. I should take a picture of this leg. Yeah, got it. Who should I send this leg to? There's no drinking. There's no drugs. It's just purely like, that's a good leg. I should share it with someone. Who makes sense?
History will want to remember this. Somebody needs to know. Somebody bear witness. Well, you know, your legs never look better than from like your perspective. Looking down on them, you get all those contours.
Yeah.
You see it the best. Oh, boy. It's like you feel like a horse when you look down at your own legs. So muscular.
And I'm coming at the end, coming out of the end of summer, so it's like I'm tan. I'm glowing, Soren.
Yeah. I have a feeling you honestly do feel like you're probably at your physical best right now, right?
I feel pretty good about that, yeah.
That's good. I feel like I could get there. If work starts again, I'm fucked. But
man, bad news, buddy. It's gonna. If everything goes well, it will.
It's me complaining on a podcast that like, oh, but my summer vacation's almost over. As a man who's almost 40 years old, oh, summer vacation's ending. Oh, all my workout time. But yeah, I get like the hiatus bod, and then that immediately goes away when I go back to work. Although COVID threw a wrench in all that.
I also worry about fitness when I go back to having like office life, and am like half joking, half serious when I say I would bring it up in like an end of year meeting. Like if they're like, good news, the office is opened again. Wow, Daniel, you look great. You lose weight. I'm like, yes, I did. It's very important to me that you don't make me come into an office ever again. It's been so good for my health.
I think you could make that.
Nah, but I'll do whatever they tell me to do.
Yeah. Can I ask about your date?
The walking date?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Did it go well?
It was fine. Yeah, it was pleasant. No real follow up apart from letting each other know that we both got home safe. I think there were enough signs leading into this that I wasn't super optimistic about a second date,
because
I just think we're in different spots in our life right now. Also, it's possible this is the first time this has happened to me. It's possible I talked about Lululemon too much on this date.
Hold on. She's young, huh?
Oh, she's my age.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You say different spots in your life. That's usually code. So you talked about... Why did you talk about Lululemon so much?
She used to work there. And, you know, on dates or whenever you're meeting anyone, you try to find something, some kind of connection point that you can like...
Yeah, of course.
I can pull on this thread for a while. And I just... I gotta say, man, I'm a huge fucking fan of that brand.
Really?
And as soon as I heard that she worked there, I went off on how much I love their products and how loyal I am to that company for its running shorts. I'm like, all of my running shorts are Lululemon now.
Oh.
They're expensive, but like you build that my arsenal over time, so I never feel like I'm dropping a lot of money at once, just sort of chipping away at my personal closet with these Lululemon running shorts that I'm nuts about. And like even saying this right now, there's a voice in my head that was on this date with me too that was saying, this would be a good time to stop talking about Lululemon. But I was like, no, I've got more. And then I was talking about the joggers that I got that I've been backpacking with from Lululemon twice. And she's very patient. She's like, yeah, I mean, like the pandemic, a lot of people, athleisure was huge. And I was like, oh man, it was so fucking huge. And I could like wear those and it doesn't feel like I'm wearing sweatpants. And man, one regret that I have, I should have invested in Lululemon stock early, because I'm sure they just went up during the pandemic with all people buying athleisure stuff from them. And I got their hats. I run in their hats. I'm trying to get my dad some Lululemon stuff because I know he'll love it. And she's just like, uh-huh, great. And again, that voice in my head was like, okay, now would be a good time to stop too. It's even better to stop right now than it was before.
And is there any concern for you that she was thinking you were angling for some sort of discount?
She doesn't work there anymore.
Oh, okay. All right, good.
But I bet she's still close with her coworkers. I don't know.
Maybe she can coach or something. So I don't mean this to be disparaging at all. I didn't know that Lululemon made men's clothing.
That's fair. I think I'm not the standard brand ambassador for that company.
I'm trying to think if the logo, if I'd even know it at the gym if I saw it. I thought it was just like yoga pants and something in proximity to yoga pants.
That's what's so great about their logo, is it's so subtle and chic that it's not even loud about it. Like, you would think my two Lululemon running hats were just like Marvel brand baseball caps that they have in the movies with no logos or no anything. It's so fucking clean. I love it.
It's a women's bob. It's a woman's haircut.
Is it?
Their logo. Right? I mean...
Yeah, this is for sure...
There's no L.
The wife on Bob's Burgers.
Yeah. All right. Well, I believe you that they're great. Maybe I'll go to a Lululemon store.
They really are. It's expensive, but worth it.
Okay.
But yeah, possibly I talk too much about Lululemon, which I think, you know, A, that's something that I can work on in the future. But B, it's also like, I think if a date is pleasant and not going super great, I think you can tell because you talk about Lululemon for 9 minutes. When you're like, oof, what else about Lululemon? What else? What else? What else?
Yeah. Yeah, there's just the conversation's not organically moving.
Yeah.
That's rough. Did you tell her what you do for a living?
Yeah.
Okay. And does she have any questions about that?
No. She is a Daily Show fan.
Oh, knife in the heart. Did she say that?
Yeah.
Why would you say that to the person you're on a date with? Just shut the fuck up. Just don't say I like this other show. I like your competitor better. That would have been like if you hadn't sung the praises of Lululemon, but instead where you're like, fucking Adidas. Have you checked these guys out? They're incredible. They've been around for a long time too. So basically an institution. Glad this is...
It's not the worst answer in the world. The worst answer when you tell someone the show you work for. You're like, yeah, I don't know if it, Last Week Tonight, I don't know if you know it. And they're just like, yeah, I know it. All right.
I think it's a tie. I think it's a tie between that and then you two talking and you like really doing your work. You're doing some jokes and like a laugh comes. And then at the end of the laugh, she goes... You should use that. You should use that on the show. That's my least favorite conversation I ever have with another human being. Listen, if you work with anybody they have a job where they're anything creative, don't give them free shit. Don't do them any favors while you guys are hanging out and bring up their job and be like, you know, do you want that? Like, you could have that. it's the most humiliating thing that happens.
Yeah. We are incredibly lucky at this job where we have like a copy and paste legalese thing that we can send to anyone who sends us pitches, because you're not supposed to send any pitches to us. And like, it's been my favorite thing in the world because people would send us stuff all the time. It cracked unsolicited stuff. And now I have this like, this ace up my sleeve where I could just say like, hey, I have to send this and I have to take a screenshot of this message and send it to our producer. I am letting you know that I did not read your pitch. As soon as I saw that it was a pitch, I stopped reading it. And I'm sending you this form thing because we're not allowed to accept outside pitches. I love it.
Yeah, that's what a shield that is to be like, we're not allowed to even, because if we ended up using an idea that was even approximately close, you'd have the legal right to sue us.
Yeah.
So you can immediately be like, nope, we don't read anything cold. I wish you could do that in real conversations. Honestly.
I know. I do have another, just because we were talking about a quick work humiliation.
Oh, please.
You got time for that? Yeah. It's my favorite thing in the world. So
I have hours to hear the work humiliation.
The backstory is the place where I volunteer. I volunteer at a food pantry every week with the same people.
Give everyone a chance to clap. Hold on. Okay. All right. Go on.
This story really toes the line whether or not I'm a hero or the asshole. Okay. We're gonna see with the amount of things that I have to drop into this story. So one of the guys that I volunteer with, the backstory is a few months ago, we got to talking about playing music because I had just rented, my brother and I rented a rehearsal studio for our other brother for a night, and we all just played music one night and just had a blast. And I was like, yeah, we used to be in a band and we were playing music just as like a birthday present for him. It was a fun time. That's backstory. Smash cut to closer to the present. I was volunteering last Monday, and one of the other volunteer, nobody there, almost no one there knows what I do, which is by design. But one of the other volunteers did, and so she knew that I won an Emmy the night before. And she was very excited for me and was talking about that. And at one point let the other guy know, like, Rich, Daniel had a big night last night. He won an Emmy. And Rich goes, in total sincerity, he goes, really? I thought you were just a failed musician.
Oh,
it's
man.
My favorite thing that's ever happened. That he latched on to that story as my failed first career was that my band never took off. And like, I know very little. Yeah. And we all know very little about each other. So we're just sort of like putting together our best guesses on what everyone's life outside of volunteer work is like. And this guy goes home thinking my defining trait is that I'm a failed musician. And I love it so much.
Incredible. Was it, it seem sort of like crestfallen that you actually had a real good job?
Yes.
I would be too. I mean, if I was that guy, I'd be like, fuck, man. He's really got his life together.
Especially if you think, like, I volunteer on Mondays because our work schedule is Wednesday to Sunday. If you don't know that, and I'm just like a failed musician who's free Monday mornings, you don't think that guy's got too much going on.
I joined PTA, Daniel. This is related. So don't think I'm going on this walk for nothing. I joined PTA and we had our first meeting, and it was a Zoom meeting. And so I got to see everybody, not like their faces because nobody has that on, but there were a lot of people that just had a picture of themselves. And I could immediately tell who's got headshots and like who's got a professional photo of themselves. So I spent the entire PTA meeting just Googling every single person in the PTA meeting.
Sure.
And the first part of it, I was sort of bored, and like they were like asking like, is there anybody who'd be willing to volunteer their time to help with the newspaper? And I was like, oh, fuck, man, I'm a writer. I could do that. And then somebody else jumped in. They're like, I have a master's in journalism. And I was like, no, she's better qualified. She should do it. And then I was like, well, let's see what these other people have going on. They're like the most prolific, prestigious people in the world. I felt I was like, I didn't belong there. There was a woman who frequently writes for The New Yorker. She's on Runner's World all the time. Like, oh, she's doing all kinds of stuff. And other people who have been working for, like, they helped inform the direction that Guess Jeans went and stuff like that, in ways where I'm like, this is not just lying or fabricating on a LinkedIn resume. These are like, this is their real career. And they're all being so quiet on this call. I should take a note from these people and not lead with how great I am. it was the same situation where I was immediately like kind of bummed out that everybody was so successful. It's like, all right, well, hold on a second. Find me somebody who says they've got retail experience, and that's like what they're leading with. Well, that's good. I'm glad that you got to do that and that you got to see his face for it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't dare let these people see me. All right. Well, I think we're done here.
Great. Yeah.
I think we've been doing this for long enough.
I think one of the things that changes with this being cuffing season coming up at all is it gets darker earlier now. So, and I'm very far away from the light switch. So I've just been sitting here getting, like, watching the darkness grow and spread to me. And now I can't wait for us to be finished with this episode so I can turn on the light, because I'm just, I'm sitting alone in the dark in front of my computer at my table. And, like, I could see in the windows across the street other neighbors doing normal stuff, like they're cooking or watching TV. And I don't want anyone to look over me, over at me.
You can follow Daniel on Twitter at @DOV_Inc. You can follow me, Soren, at Soren_LTD. You can follow Quick Question at QQ_Soren and Dan, or you can email us at QQ@Soren and Daniel@gmail.com. We have an Instagram. It's not really worth even me saying it, because it just takes up a bunch of time. But more importantly, you can follow, find, or hire our producer and sound engineer and editor, Gabe Harder, at GabeHarder.com. Maybe. Okay, turn on the light, Dan. Bye.
Bye.